that's what helps, I think, with training, and why I, anytime anyone asks me in the past few years, how did you get so good at training, get so like in the zone, like how did you do it? And I always say meditation is actually number one. Because the only thing that ever really holds you back when you're trying to push yourself, whatever that looks like on the day, is your thoughts, really, unless you're injured, you know?
Yes.
So I think that, like, even this morning, like, I woke up and my brain was telling me I didn't want to train. I felt, my body felt fine. But it was just telling me, like, it was going, wouldn't it be so much easier if you just had your breakfast now, this 7 a.m. And then I didn't have work today. And it was just saying, and, like, went off to the beach and just sat on your own for the day. And all that. And, like, it was all a load of codswallop.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of No Finish Line Podcast. Or if it's your first visit, then welcome to the podcast. In this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Aoife Cleary. And you might be asking, who is Aoife Cleary? And that's exactly what I thought when I first heard the name just a few days ago. Aoife was the female winner of the Dublin Half Marathon, winning it in a very impressive time of 1 hour 18 minutes and 11 seconds. This winning time was more than 3 minutes ahead of the second place finisher. Aoife was just running and didn't know she was in winning position, and chances are that those around her at the start line also weren't expecting her to win. Anyone who'd seen her running on the day commented on her smile, which she carried for the full 21.1 kilometres. Aoife, welcome to the podcast and thanks for making the time.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm honoured to be here.
Delighted to hear it. Now, you were wearing a set of headphones, either big headphones like what a DJ would wear. And I'm curious to know what you were listening to as you were running around.
Okay. I have a few things. So that morning I woke up and I love running to music. It depends on the day what kind of music it is. What kind of motivation I need or how I want to change my energy. But for that particular day, I woke up and over my morning coffee, I made up a playlist kind of from scratch, but from a few songs that were in my, you know, my usual, you know, archive. So long story short, I basically decided that morning, I was like, okay, well, whatever I do, I'm not going to make this playlist any longer than an hour and 20 minutes because I'd really like to try PB for myself. So that was the rule I kind of made in my head. So anyway, the last song that I listened to when I was like running and I realized there was a ribbon there for me to break, which was really surprising, was Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac. So that was my last song. That came on when I was running the last 100 metres, which is kind of funny if you imagine that's the music that's going on when if you've seen the video. But other than that, it was a mix of loads of stuff. So I love listening to kind of cheesy pop, especially when I'm running outside on a sunny day. So I had a bit of Westlife. I had Taylor Swift.
Okay, you're digging the hole now.
I know, I'm digging a hole because we only just said that I have an eclectic mix, but this is just for that day. I'm going into it. I have a Dublin half thing. I had Yet Run This Town by Jay-Z.
Okay.
I also, this is tongue in cheek, and my mom said that if I'm telling people, I shouldn't tell them this is on the playlist. But basically, I always find that the one thing that's always put me off racing is that I tend to fall at the front with the mad men in their Air Zooms and their singlets. And I've always found them really intimidating. So I heard this song while I was running. It came on shuffle a few months ago and I put it on the playlist just to reassure myself because it gives me confidence. And it's you know that old song, Man Eater, Daryl Hall?
Yes, and John Oates.
Yeah. So that's on my Dublin half playlist because right. I was running along beside them and I just felt
perfect. And you finished in under the 1 hour 20, so did you get to listen to your finish line song?
Well, yeah, my finish line song was Everywhere.
Oh, that was your finish line, but you didn't get to listen to it all.
Oh no, I didn't listen to every song on the playlist, so that was good.
Now, do you find that the music tempo has an effect on your pace? Because I can remember years ago when the Sony Discman came out, first of all, and I was using one and running, and I had Bob Marley's Babylon by Bus, and I found that my pace kept changing. Sometimes you'd even be running backwards, depending on what the song was.
No. Like, yes and no. I suppose, see, a lot of the time I run on field, so I'll kind of go out and I find that my feet just start to move at whatever tempo they want to. And then they'll speed up if my energy gets lifted. So for me, no, not really. I suppose I just kind of relax into the song. And I love lyrics over actually like the tempo and stuff. That's what I'll focus on. So that's why I tend to always pick really cheesy songs with good lines. Like I Ain't Worried by One Republic and these kind of sunshine songs.
Right, okay.
So yeah, it's lyrics. Lyrics I listen to and they speed me up.
Okay, well, that's good. Now, let's go into why you started running, because you're relatively new to the running scene. Were you involved in any sports before running?
No. So both my sisters did gymnastics and so did my cousin, and they were really like sporty in air quotes and as kids. And I was always, I've never been competitive. So I always found actually I was always really turned off by team sports, because I'd start playing and then the minute people started trying to like get one up on each other, I would want to stop playing. And then so it was always a game for me, and then I got into drama and that kind of thing, because I think that's what is really important to me now, to kind of talk to people like at my age and up and around about, is that, and kids, like I have little cousins, that like sport's meant to be fun, and it's not about like being competitive and that kind of thing. So the answer is no, I actually didn't. I got picked on in school at around 12, and I moved schools. So I was going through loads of change, and I started to, Mum had those Cindy Crawford videos, and me and my, the aerobics in the sitting room. So me and my cousin thought, fun, let's do that as like something different to do. And then I realized, oh my God, it's really fun, like to move. I feel so much better after I do some moving. So I started kind of going up and down my lane, power walking and like, you know, jogging up and down. We have a kind of mile lane and a scary. So that's where it all started. And I realized then, oh, okay, exercise really helps me. And then I suppose I got into run walking around here, because it's really hilly. Like it's the Wicklow Mountains. So I got into walk running as a teenager. And I just had the Nike Run app, and I didn't know what pace was really. I just went out on time or a loop, and then got into doing like the cross trainer in the gym, and I just really liked the feeling of cardio. This is just my journey. I hope that's okay.
I have to wonder where that engine comes from, because you obviously have a really superior aerobic engine that's allowing you to run at these paces without really trying, because it sounds like you're just letting it happen.
I really surprised myself, because I suppose I did start doing cardio and that kind of thing. I'd say when I was 16-17 we had like deaths in the family, and I remember going to the gym and, you know, doing an hour on the cross trainer, listening to music on my iPod Nano, and like I'd feel so much better and ready to go on and take on the rest of the day after. So I'd say the cardio thing started there. But I do think then I got into college, and I was actually really bored doing my business degree. I'm quite high energy. I like to always have loads of things going on. So I started doing fitness instruction, and I actually qualified as a PT. And that's where I got into strength training then. And I started doing a lot of that during college, doing kind of, you know, the splits and all of that. And I suppose then what really happened was I got so into that running took a little bit of a backseat, because, you know, it was actually that age. And I don't know, like, do you remember a couple of years ago when, like, it was all gym bros all over Instagram, and
yes,
that was the thing you did, and everyone was bodybuilding and la la, and I just got sucked into it, like building a booty and all this kind of stuff, but like lost the joy in, like, you know, the feeling after you trained. And then COVID brought it back again, I suppose. I did my first half marathon, the KBC virtual one. Remember, everyone was doing that, the half marathon. And I did, that was my first half marathon. I did a long Perrisquirt River Walk. I actually looked it up on Strava the other day because I was really curious. I was like, remember I did that? In like my rain jacket. And then the bug was back. And I got a smart, that was another thing. I got, there was a running club in Microsoft and we all started chatting online, and I got my first Garmin. And someone said it to me after the Great Pink Run, the virtual Great Pink Run. They were like, Aoife, your pace is fast. And that was the first time I even know, I didn't know what a fast pace was.
I gave a talk to the run club a year or two ago.
I knew what, David Power probably organized
that's
with
right.
you.
Okay, and you were there, and little did I know.
You
could have been giving the talk, and I could have been in the audience. Now, before I get talking about the race and training, I'm going to get a bit sidetracked now. I was talking to you earlier, and you mentioned you were going home to, and you were out for a walk, and you were going home to do some meditation. Do you find that that helps with your training, with maybe the recovery between your training, and recharging you to put in such a hard effort each time you go out?
John, I'd say it helps with everything. I started meditating for my third year, for final year in college, for my final exams. So I started doing the Daily Calm on the Calm app, the 10-minute one. And it's really hard getting into it. And I want everyone that listens to this to know, like, it doesn't get easier, but it's the same as, like, anything worth doing on the daily. Do you know what I mean? It's just... Yeah. It doesn't get easier. You just get better at making yourself do it.
Yeah. What's the difference? What's the difference between meditating and falling asleep?
So I think what's amazing about meditation is you realize just how silly our brains are. Like, for me, it's given me that ability to sit back, and I see my thoughts as like clouds in the sky, and they never get less silly. And they'll always try, like, codger, you know, into thinking this is the right thing to do for you today. But, like, that's what helps, I think, with training, and why anytime anyone asks me in the past few years, how did you get so good at training, get so, like, in the zone, like, how'd you do it? And I always say meditation is actually number one. Because the only thing that ever really holds you back when you're trying to push yourself, whatever that looks like on the day, is your thoughts, really, unless you're injured, you know?
Yes.
So I think that, like, even this morning, like, I woke up and my brain was telling me I didn't want to train. I felt, my body felt fine. But it was just telling me, like, it was going, wouldn't it be so much easier if you just had your breakfast now, the 7 a.m. And then I didn't have work today. And it was just saying, and, like, went off to the beach and just sat on your own for the day. And all that. And, like, it was all a load of codswallop. But I could see the thoughts. Like, I can separate myself from them. So the long answer is, I think meditation is something that if you want to get serious about any goal, even in work or just getting yourself, like, you know, really zeroing in on what you want and being able to separate yourself from those kind of patterns that trip you up, just meditate. And, like, the difference is that you just, it's actually focused. Meditation is effort. It's not lying down and fully relaxing. Meditation is actually a practice, and that's why they say it. Like, you actually do have to. I can't meditate if it's too late because I'll fall asleep.
Well, you've sold it to me now. I'm going to try it. And I read a book there a while back by a guy called Conor Creighton, Irish guy.
Yeah.
And that got me interested, and I did actually try, but I've just felt myself falling asleep, and I was kind of thinking, what is the difference, like, between?
Yeah, I think the trick is do it when you're energetic. Like, do it before you get sleepy. So I actually love doing it at lunchtime. Morning, I don't want to because I don't really want to sit down and close my eyes. I just woke up, like. But I love doing it at lunchtime because it kind of recenters me for the rest of the day. Or, like, that after a walk.
So the meditation would be your way of relaxing as well.
Yeah,
because I can sense the energy off you. So it sounds like you're full on. You're energetic, yeah. You're self-coached. So how do you manage to be self-coached at the level that you're running at or training at? Or maybe you don't feel that you're at a level because it's just what you're doing. That's
I was really injured last year with my left side, and I didn't know what was wrong. It turns out that it was actually just weak calves, and it was going, causing my glutes to spasm and everything. Like, I couldn't sleep for a while, and that really, really upset me. I think that gave me a whole new love for running, because I could cycle and I could strength train, but I couldn't run, and I was miserable.
I can't imagine you being miserable.
Oh, I know. Like, it's but there you go. I say I was miserable. I wasn't really miserable. But, like, you know, for me, I was a bit less smiley. But I basically started running, and then I know from, like, podcasts, I suppose. I love listening to runner stories. I think that's why when you asked me to be on this, I was like, sure, I'll share my story, because for me, this is the kind of stuff I love listening to on a long run. Like, I love listening to people's journeys into it. And I started doing the kind of, you know, the standard stuff. I set a goal in my head. My half PB this time last year was 1:26. So for this year, I set the goal. I really want to get sub 85 minutes. And then I just made sure I did two kind of faster workouts a week, and then one long outdoor one, because I find too much actually outdoor and hilly stuff is bad for my knees and my hips anyway. And then kept my strength training. So I kind of just learned from picking things up along the way. Do you know what I mean? Of like the stuff that you should always have in your weeks if you want to get faster.
Yeah.
And then at the start of the summer, so this is funny, and I'm going to drop his name here because he's an amazing man, Emmett Dunleavy.
Yes, I know Emmett quite well.
Yeah, I asked him to coach me, and I was going away, which I think we're going to get to later. But I was going away, and I said to him, okay, I really surprised myself at the London Landmarks, and I came second woman by 10 seconds or something. And I shaved 4 minutes off my PB. So I was an hour and 21. That was April. And I was so shocked. I was like, I need to get a coach now. Like, you know, I could actually do really cool things. And he gave me a plan. And I just, I think the thing is, I have never been good at rules.
Right.
And if I wake up and I feel like doing something, and I really know that I'll feel great if I do that, I'll do that. And it's the same the other way. If I woke up and it was lashing rain and windy, and it was on my program that someone gave me that you need to go and run outside for 80 minutes, I wouldn't want to do it. And I know I'd be happier just doing a treadmill run for an hour. So I just decided, I said it to him about 2 months ago, because we'd have our catch-ups every week, and he'd be like, Aoife, you aren't doing... these faces, you're not following the plan. And I just had to say to him, I was like, look,
Emmett is listening in, he's probably wondering, did I ask you about running 50k? Because anytime he sees me now, he tries to shield me from his athletes, because that's, I'm always trying to get runners.
Yeah, Emmett, he did. It was how he got in touch with me, Emmett. He tried to make me do an ultra.
Right. Because whenever I meet him, say in the Phoenix Park or that, and he's with athletes and I'm chatting to him, I'm always asking about someone to run 50K, but he said he kind of runs me now. Now, you mentioned the treadmill. A lot of people find it really hard to run the treadmill, and you know, a lot of people call it the dreadmill. Do you find it easier or harder than training outdoors? Which would you prefer? I'm guessing it's outdoors, but how do you manage to run so well on the treadmill?
I don't know.
I like it because I think it's a good way of doing a definite session without interruptions. That you don't have to, you dial in the pace, you don't have to worry about what you're doing, and you just have to do it.
Absolutely. I just think that the thing about the treadmill is that, like, I would way rather, like, run outside if it's a scenic run.
Yes.
But, like, I find no joy in running, say, like, I was visiting my friend in London and, like, trying to, like, run through London streets and lights and even Dublin at between 8 and 10 on a weekday. Like, I don't want to do that. I find that really, like, just, first of all, it's just stressful. You're already running and then it's more stress trying to avoid cars and people. So, like, the short answer would be that I love them both equally, I think. I just love the feeling of running in general. I love, like, the flow of your feet. And, you know, I'm a big fan of aeroplane wings, so I like to open your chest out. So if you're running, like, downhill or, you know, you're finding that you're breathing, you need to open up your lungs a bit, like, to do big aeroplane wings. So, like, for me, that's what running's about. I actually genuinely just love the feeling of it and the buzz off it. So if it's a treadmill, I
yeah,
fine. And like you said, it is. I'd only ever do my tempo runs or like a set pace run on treadmill.
Yes. And do you have a routine for training on the treadmill? Towel, drinks, music, something that someone listening in might have as a takeaway to use themselves?
Yeah. So, yeah, I always have a towel or some tissue because I don't know, is this just me? But I get a runny nose when I run and I always have to give it a blow every few minutes. So I'll have a towel or tissue and then I have my trusty headphones. And then what else? I suppose the main thing is like give yourself 10 minutes. I heard this quote somewhere and I did this morning. And it said that if you don't feel like doing something, do 10 minutes of it and see what happens. And I can kind of guarantee you most of the time that if you start on a treadmill and you just pick a pace, like pick a number on that treadmill that you've done before, you know, you can do and warm up to that number and then set yourself a time goal. Like on the treadmill, tell yourself you're going to do 40 minutes. And if it's a particularly hard day and you honestly just feel like the treadmill is going to bore the living daylights out of you, pick a really good podcast and focus on your feet and the podcast and just enjoy it. Like that, this is your time. For me, I think that's it. With running, it's like I regularly say this line to myself if I find that like my brain's trying to convince me to stop. I say, where else would I rather be? And I can tell you, at like 8 a.m. in the morning, I would not rather be on my email or phone, you know, like,
yes. Yeah,
and most people aren't free, yes, for a coffee or anything. So there is no place I'd rather be than doing a run by myself. So,
and you mentioned your trusty headphones. Is that the big one you're wearing at the half marathon?
Yeah. And, you know, the reason for that is because I haven't yet found a pair of earphones that don't fall out when you start sweating. Like right. I had the ones that clip into your ears, you know, them really good ones, the JBL ones. But I actually lost them. So they're the only other ones that I've used. I used those at the London one, but I lost them. So I have to just wear these big.
But do you not find them cumbersome and they bounce around and get all sweaty? I'd find them really, really tough to run with.
No, maybe I'm used to them now. But like your man said that to me at the finish line. He was like, do you not find them heavy?
Yeah. They slow you down.
No. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're like a weight on my head. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, and actually, just as you mentioned the finish line there again, like, you were kind of overdressed compared to most people, you know, with the jacket that you had on. So generally what happens is when you start to overheat, the body will start to slow itself down to stop the overheating, to protect the brain. How do you regulate your body temperature matching up with the pace, because I take it you were probably getting faster as the race was going along.
I honestly, when the more I think about all this stuff, the more I think I should really just get a coach, because like between me and you, I just think I could go so much faster.
You could,
than I
yeah,
did on
because,
that day.
Like that's what I messaged you about the other day. Look, I'll chat to you again about something like that. I have. Because like your time at the race, it's not elite level, but it's not knocking on the door, but it's kind of the door's open, you're kind of stepping in, like, but the Dublin Marathon Mission, that's you have kind of gone under the time that they require with a half marathon. I think the half, your half marathon time is the equivalent.
That?
Dublin Marathon Mission is was set up by Dublin Marathon to improve the quality and standard of marathon running in Ireland. And there's a select number of athletes that are actually part of it. And then they get it brought to training camps and a bit of extra support.
What?
So are you now kind of interested in a marathon?
I'd be interested at that if I can do that stuff. Okay. Yeah.
You're a few seconds under what's required with a half marathon. And with a full marathon, it's 2:45. They are the equivalent times. So there. So look at I'll give you the details later.
Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that now. That sounds really fun.
Yeah. So you have to sidetrack me there again now. So we've been talking a bit about training and your treadmill. Now, do you ever feel like you're suffering from fatigue that might build up from a couple of days? Because to me, you seem really, really motivated. And when you have somebody who's really motivated, the training is easy. It's the not training and relaxing is hard. Because your meditation will both rest the mind and maybe to an extent rest the body, you're not doing anything. But there is a fatigue from activity that will start to build up. Accumulation. It sounds like you don't, because you're having to think about what I'm saying. You're kind of wondering what's he asking.
Yeah, because I just honestly think, like, I'm like, well, if it was building up, wouldn't it have come already? Because it's been years now. Do you know, like, because I'm like, it's years and years that I've kind of gotten up and trained, and I've never felt that. Like, I still, like, work and socialise and live my life and walk my dog. So I suppose no.
Right, well, now that I've mentioned motivation.
Yes.
I remember reading an article on motivation and why people do the work that they do. And it was saying that there were three levels of motivation. And I kind of like this one. I mentioned layer one is intrinsic, that you simply like doing what you do. Layer two is locally extrinsic, and you're motivated by the people immediately around you to give you positive feedback, like someone telling you you're great, whatever, family, friends, teammates. Then layer three is broadly extrinsic, which means you're looking for the world around you to give positive feedback, and that could be like what you did at the weekend, winning a race. So I'm part of that. I'm giving you that feedback because, and a lot of people on the day, well done and whatever. And you're getting a bit more attention. But I don't think that you're looking for that. Using that model, I would still say that you're layer one. And have you heard of the term autoletic?
No.
Well, autoletic people are self-motivated. They do what they do for the sake of doing it, not for any reward. With them, the work is the win. Everything else that happens is a byproduct of it. The enjoyment comes from doing the work, and that's what the win is. And an autoletic activity might be hill walking. So someone isn't going hill walking to get to the end of the walk. They're doing it for what they're doing. They're not looking to get to the end of it. Or somebody singing a song isn't singing a song to get to the end of the song.
Yeah.
Am I going off on a tangent there now? I mean, you get what I mean?
No.
So where does your motivation come from?
Definitely 100% intrinsic.
Yeah.
I actually, that was only the second race I've ever done. For the purpose that I actually get the opposite effect. So I get quite demotivated by people say that, like, as in, I love, it's lovely, the past couple of weeks, the people that, like, I don't even know in my village and stuff, saying that they loved what I said and it's helped them get out. Like, that's really great. But it won't wake me up and make me run tomorrow morning at all. And, like, as well, I suppose when I go to those races, the supporters are lovely and all, and I know that it's really lovely that they've come out. I find I actually slow down when there's like the supporters start yelling at me. I don't get motivated by it at all. So I think that I'm very intrinsically motivated. It's literally for doing it. Like you said about hill walking, I see running as the same. I think that that's why I always say that, like, I'll run on time, as in I say tomorrow I'm like, I'll go out and I'll do 80 minutes around Killiney or Dunleary for the scenes, and whatever happens, happens. And for me, the motivation is always, oh, going to be looking at that sea and listening to that music and imagine how good I'll feel then, you know, during it and after it. You know, like, it's very, it's always from the inside. I don't actually ever think about what anyone else is going to think of it. If anything, I'm like, if people know that I'm doing it, I nearly want to not do it anymore.
Yeah, well, maybe that's it. And maybe you didn't have a reason to think about it, but now, you know, people know who you are now. So do you think there's a possibility that your result from the weekend might actually change you without you realising it?
Yeah, I've talked to my sisters about it, and I think that they said, like, I love listening. I'm listening at the moment to Dina Castor's book, Let Your Mind Run. And she was quite extrinsically motivated. I think it's a really good way of looking at it, is that I said to my sisters, look, I only got to where I got to, that, like, on that half marathon by just being myself. And, like, I was getting up and running while I was traveling, while I was things, only like when only I knew I was doing it, like, just because I wanted
away
to.
From witness, that's, and it.
Yeah, away from witness. And I suppose the way I see it is that, like, I'm not gonna let the fact that people know I'm doing it change the fact that I will do it, because I have to keep in mind my why. And I think when you have your why and you really have it and it's strong in you, then you can't really be deterred, and I won't be. Like, I'll just keep coming back to my why every time my brain starts going, oh no, maybe you should do this because people will think that on Strava. I'll just come back to my why.
And when someone tells me their why, I also like to know the why of their why.
Okay.
But some people say, okay, well, you're running because you like running, but why do you like running? Why are you running? Is it to get faster? Is it to win races? Is it to lose weight? Is it to, like, is there a reason why it's running?
It's none of those things. It's not tangible results based. For me, I'll always run in the morning. And I think it is down to that, when you show up that first thing in the morning and you do something that makes you feel good and tells your whole system and your body, hi, I'm showing up today, and I'm going to do good things for you today, that actually all your decisions for the rest of the day then reflect that too. That's my why. I think it helps you. Everyone knows it. Like, if you were exercising, you show up and you do that thing and make yourself feel proud of something you did at the start of the day, like, you start your day proud of yourself, then for the rest of the day your self-esteem is already high, and you walk into your meetings feeling like, yeah, actually I'll ask that question. And you send, like, if you're single, for example, you send that text asking the person for a coffee. Like, you do the things, you keep showing up for yourself for the rest of the day, because sure, you did it at the start of the day, why not continue? You've started the snowball effect, and I think that's what running does. Like, it gives you that self-belief, yeah, and the confidence.
And going back to the race, you kind of had 20 something years to get to this point of this race and this finish line. Mm. But for the next race you do, you've only got now until then. And if you do another similar race in Dublin, you won't be as anonymous, especially if you're wearing your headphones.
yellow jacket.
Yeah, your yellow jacket, yeah. So do you think there might be a little bit of pressure? Do you think you might feel that? Or would your drama days actually help you to deal with that? You won't get stage fright.
No, I don't think I'd mind it so much because I've always loved, I did philanthropy. I work in tech and I actually have always loved presenting and things like that, you know, and hosting events and things. And I think I'll just keep, in terms of like performance pressure, like I think it's actually kind of fun. And the thing about when you go to places and you're known is that I hope the people know me for all the good parts of me. And like when I show up there, same way as I do in like Westwood every morning, or like, you know, those kind of, you know, your local coffee shop, that it's a kind reception. And sure, isn't that great?
Yeah, it is
Like,
great.
I'll
I think
go
that's
for a
how it
run in
will be,
Dublin
yeah.
and get smiles from everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone just wants the best for each other. And I think that's what this is all about. Like, I want everyone to know that, like, you know, there's room for everyone to succeed, you know, and there is, like, everyone, like, there's plenty to go around.
Yeah.
So, like, just cheer everyone on, you know?
You know, at the end of the race, you weren't expecting to win, but then you were giving a check for €500. You donated your winnings to Enable Ireland. Why was that?
So the first time I worked with Enable Ireland, I was working in Microsoft, and we did lots of charity work with them. I went to the Adult Services Centre, and I loved them as a charity. And then this time last year, actually, my cousin gave birth to a little boy, and he got meningitis. He was only home 1 week, and he was rushed to A&E, an ICU, sorry. And basically the meningitis, because he's only a week old, has had like long-term effects on his brain. We don't know the extent of them yet, but he was perfectly healthy, and now essentially he has brain damage from the meningitis. But since then, Enable Ireland jumped in and have been helping him as well with rehab and with the parents and educating them and stuff. So I suppose, I think that no one, like, I don't enjoy only pursuing a goal for a May Fainer purpose. And I had a feeling I'd do well when I signed up to Dublin. So I just kind of thought, rather than just blow my own trumpet and post Instagram posts about, look at me, I'm so great, look at the time I can run, that actually use that PR for good. And all the better that actually then I got the €500 check and I was like, oh my God. But yeah, I think it's just so important, and it's good karma. It's just
Yeah,
giving
well,
back.
so sorry to hear that. And everyone has a story, and that's a very kind gesture. And having you as an advocate for the charity, as like I'd seen some of the posts that they were doing, and I think you really lifted the mood with them as well. So everyone likes to kind of share in the success, and especially when you have a connection to it.
I think it's a lovely thing as well, is that just remember that you can run, you know,
Yes, yes.
when you like, you can, like, you if you aren't injured, or even if you are and you can cycle and stuff,
Yeah.
there is people in this country that like can't, you
Yeah.
know, and all they're able to do every day is go on the bus to the Adult Services Centre, and that's what they know. And actually, so if you can run and you can raise money and help them live their best life and have fun, like, through running, why not do it? Why pocket that 500 for two pairs of Next Percents, you know?
Why
Give it
not?
back.
And I suppose that probably strengthens a why as well. You're not just doing what you're doing for yourself. You have something else, you know, energizing you along the way.
Yeah, exactly. So true.
Now, apart from the running, I know you do a little bit of traveling, so you spent some time in Australia.
Yeah, I
Can
did.
you tell
I
us a bit about
laughed.
that experience? How, because I would have thought Australia would be a place that would suit someone so energetic and outdoorsy and.
You see, that's what everyone said.
Well,
But I actually honestly.
not for a while, I was there for a week, and then I was there again for just a couple of days, and I could take it or leave it, that's it, you know.
Yeah, so I intended to move there, and I got a sponsored visa with a tech company down there and a job, and I got a room like for a year lease, all this. I set myself up for going. And I was there 2 months and I was in Sydney. I was living in Bondi. And all I felt about it was, because everyone said exactly what you said to me, and they were like, oh, the lifestyle is going to really suit you down to the ground. That for me, a lot of it was smoke and mirrors. It was kind of that thing of, I had seen everyone I know on Instagram move down there and put up all their best bits all the time. And I thought, oh, their life must be so much better because they're down, like, it looks so sunny and look at that beach and they're in Sydney, you know? And I just realized, like, it was lovely. It was really fun. I did some great runs around there too, like just seeing the scenes and stuff. But then it came back to the fact that, like, I honestly think that the one thing, and this actually comes back to motivation as well, the number one thing in everyone's life should be connection. And for me, it was just way too far away from the people and community that I love the most. And I know it was only going to be a year and stuff, but like, days are long. And Monday to Friday is long. And the only thing I realized after a month in, that the only bit of the day I was really enjoying was my run in the morning. and then the rest of the day I was, and I had friends, but they were, you know, they weren't like my closest people. So I think that, yeah, it got to the stage where I was about 6 weeks in and my Monday, I was just getting lower and lower. And it was actually funny. I could really tell because my motivation for my runs even was going, and that never happens. I always get excited to do that.
Time to come home.
So, yeah, time to go home before I stop. But I was just like, there was nothing. I stopped looking forward to anything. And for me, people were like, "Oh, you'll adapt." And I thought, I don't really want to adapt to this version of me that I'm becoming, though. Like, I don't want to adapt. Because I like who I was becoming at home. So,
you think you learned much from the experience?
So much. I think that what their advice I would give, and I have two younger sisters. So, I was saying to my mum earlier on that, like, I think that's where, like, I kind of have a natural hype girl in me, that if anyone ever needs advice, I love motivating and trying to inspire people. And I think it's because I'm the big sister out of three, and I've always wanted to do that for my sisters. But the advice I'd give them is definitely go, right, and give yourself, like, go and travel and see it. But you don't have to go away and commit to going for a year straight away. I'd go visit it first. Or visit these places first and then decide, because like living somewhere and doing your Monday to Friday somewhere where you don't have someone you love to sit on the couch with at the end of the day.
I think that's really good advice now, because you're not telling them not to do something based on your experience. Everyone has a different experience, like what you said, from what you see of other people being out there and them telling you what it's like. But we have to experience these things ourselves, don't we? Make up our own minds.
Yeah. I also, the advice I would give, and that I think is so, like, I've had so much change in my life this year, because off my own bat, like, I chose all of it. But I think the advice I would give is that when you start feeling that you're genuinely becoming an unhappier person down there, or doing, even in a job. So I left a job earlier in the year because, like that, it was really sucking the soul out of me. And I chose to just leave. Australia was starting to suck the soul out of me, and I just left. That, like, leave your ego at the door. Stop staying in Australia because you said you were going to stay a year. No one cares. Like, if you come home,
no one cares.
Happy to see No, if you're out on a run and, like, your Achilles is killing you, like, just stop. No one cares. Like, no one's going to give you, like, loads of kudos because you completed an hour and a half or a marathon. If you're a marathon trainer right now and you have the Dublin Marathon in 2 weeks and you are injured, just don't train. Like, give this one a miss. You know, like, that's just my main advice that I've learned this year, is that, like, put your pride at the door, and there's no right way to do anything, and you need to tune into yourself. Like, you know, pride is actually going to kill you if you, it's the only thing you follow, and your ego shouldn't be the thing that motivates you to keep going if it's making you miserable.
Or an Instagram post or a Strava post.
No. No. Like, that's the thing. This morning I wanted to run outside and I had that voice in my head being like, you're going to do another treadmill run, because it was really, like, there was a really chilly wind and I didn't have the energy to run against the wind today. I didn't want to. And I was leaving the house and I was like, will I go for a run outside though? Because I can't be only like doing treadmill again. And for me, it was also a thing of like, there was that voice in me, it was like, the Strava posts are so much funner when I have like, you know, when I see some scenes, you know, and when I can look, I actually love looking, you know, at your own route. Like, I'm like, oh, remember I went up that road. But I just left my pride at the door because I said, if you don't want to do it, like, you know, make yourself happy. Go and enjoy the comfort.
Yes, exactly. Now, I think you might be suited to trail running. Does that ever cross your mind?
Yes. But
that's half a yes.
I did it before.
Okay.
I did the Glen de Loch trail run, right. The Fighting Blindness one a few years ago.
Oh,
I
yes,
enjoyed
I know.
But I do love moving fast, mm-hmm. John. That's the thing. I love the, and I the thing about trail running is it actually wrecked my head having to watch my feet so much. That
right,
really annoyed
okay.
me.
But would your ballet not, did you, or your gymnastics not help you?
No, that was my sister.
Was your sister?
No,
okay.
I wasn't.
All right. Mm.
But I don't like being so distracted by what I'm going to step on the whole time.
Yeah, okay.
That kind of annoys me.
Now, you said you've no interest in running a marathon. As you said, no one cares. Are you starting to get a bit of an interest now?
God.
Yeah.
Yes, I think I am.
I'm starting to convince you.
Yeah, I think that I am, because I'm getting faster and it's going to take way less time to do it. The idea of running for like 4 hours, I was like, I never want to do that. That sounds absolutely terrible. Like, I wouldn't really want to do anything for 4 hours. I'd never even watch TV for more than an hour.
You need to recalibrate now. You wouldn't be running for 4 hours. If you were doing it...
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. You'd be way under 4 hours. Way under.
Because, like, I'm the kind of person, like, I won't go to the cinema if the movie's over, like, an hour and 40 minutes.
Right.
Like, I just...
What's
find,
the last
like,
film you went to see?
Oh, what was the last film I went to see? Where was it? I think it could have been in Australia, was it? Where's my go with? I saw loads of movies because it's winter down there. I was in Byron Bay in Australia and it was a really rainy day and there's nothing to do in Byron Bay when it's raining. So I took myself to go see The Little Mermaid.
Okay. Right. I'm starting to build up a picture here now. Now I'm going to ask you, are you reading anything? I've got Taylor Swift, Fleetwood Mac, The Little Mermaid.
I just think, like, do
Pink
things
rain
make
jacket.
You feel good.
Right.
These
so
things make you feel good.
Yeah. What's the book? Fact or fiction?
Okay, I actually always have two on the go.
Right.
So I'll always be reading a fact one and then a fiction one. So fiction one is like bedtime reading. My fact one is then for, you know, meal times or if I'm out for a coffee or something. So my fact one is Let Your Mind Run. By Dina Castor.
Okay.
The one that I was talking about earlier.
No, actually, you already mentioned that book, right? So give us another book.
Okay, I love this book, The Source.
The Source.
It's by a neuroscientist from the UK. I forget her name, but it'll come up straight away. But it's actually, I'm listening to that on audio. Mm-hmm. And it's actually so interesting, like, because I find that, say, you know, you know that one, what's it? You know them books and sometimes it's about manifesting and things and you can think this is all very woo-woo. Whereas because she's like a neuroscientist first, she backs everything she says with scientific studies about how to really like focus on your goals, manifest and vision board and the studies that have proven it works. Like there was this study and I actually just want to tell everyone about this, but they had two groups. And basically, one of the groups, this is about visualization, which I've started to get kind of into. One of the groups, they made them visualize doing a 10-minute upper body workout every single day for 30 days, right? And then one group was the control group, so they didn't do anything. And then one group actually did a workout. And the group that visualized doing an upper body workout but did not do one had 30% increase in their muscle mass by just imagining they were doing it. Like, wild.
So I'd have to see that for myself now. I'd be one of these guys now that would be a bit skeptical.
Okay, I'll look up the scientific study and I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
But like, that is just, I'm just like, really now. Like, they gained muscle.
Now, when you're listening to that book, do you find that you have to keep rewinding it? Because of your meditation, do you find that something like that could send you off into a meditative state? Or your mind go clear?
I usually only listen to the audiobooks when I'm walking. So I walk my dog every evening, and that's when I'll listen to a nice audiobook. So unless, you know, I get really distracted by the birds or like the river or something. But I really like, I usually buy the physical copy.
Yes,
I
like the audiobook
enough. Yeah, so it's that, so I can go and highlight things, because otherwise I'll forget all my facts. So I actually bought the physical copy of The Source now. It's downstairs, and I'll be going back through it with a highlighter.
Right, okay. I've been sent an advanced copy of a book to have a read of, a guy from Limerick, Barry Loftus. So that's kind of next on my list, but I mainly read fact, and I like a lot of...
What are you reading now?
Okay, I'm just going to reach across. Oh, actually, two books. The Walker's Guide to Outdoor Clues and Signs by Tristan Gooley. And just give me one sec. I'm rereading a book called Longitude by David Sobel. It's the story of a lone genius who solved the greatest scientific problem of his time. And he more or less came up with the design for the watch and the chronograph, and it helped with navigation. So ships were able to cross the lines of longitude without losing time. That they were able to establish the different time zones.
Oh, very cool.
So that's what I'm at now at the moment.
Deadly.
Yeah. And I listen to some podcasts and that. Like, I type in somebody's name. The most recent podcast I've listened to, the guest on it was Rick Rubin. Have you heard of him?
No.
So Rick Rubin, he is a music producer. And he is one of the most famous music producers of all time. And he's worked with everyone from the Beastie Boys to Johnny Cash, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Adele, and many, many more. So I think you'd like him. He has a book called The Creative Something. Can't think of the name of it. So that's kind of next on my list to get. So there.
Cool.
Now,
I love...
We're sitting there having this podcast. You're in Enniskerry. I'm in Leixlip. If I wasn't talking to you now, I think you might have rushed home from your walk to record this. Or did you? Would you still be at walking?
No, I've nearly done.
Okay.
No, it's dark. There's no streetlights.
Right. Well, what would you be doing if we weren't talking, like, and it was earlier in the day? What's your day like? Your free time, apart from running and walking your dog? Or are they the main things? Nothing wrong with that.
No, I...
Do you like being out in nature?
Now, so, always. I love nature. I couldn't do a day without it. I find that my mental state is so different without it. I'm obsessed. That's one thing about Ireland. I think that's why Sydney didn't suit me.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough space.
No, yeah. Did you ever go to Knocksink Wood?
No.
No. I was there recently, and the interpretive centre that they were building, and it was just abandoned, and nature's reclaiming it, which is a novel shame to kind of see it the way it is. It's not a place to go to too often. I think it's very secluded, but it's a nice wood if you actually get out and into it.
Yeah, in my spare time, so I don't like have posts on Strava every day, but that's like, you know what I mean? That's what, 10 minutes. I don't like being on my phone at all, really. So I have quite like kind of strict boundaries with it. I have all notifications turned off from the notification center from 7 p.m. every day until about 9 a.m. So that's one piece of advice I'd give anyone listening that maybe struggles to get motivated in the morning. Like, set a thing where you literally do not look at your phone until you've done your training. Like, don't look at it. like turn your notifications off the night before and don't look at it. And then for sleep as well, in the evenings, I will hang out with someone that I love for an hour after dinner. And so, like, if we weren't talking now, I would be downstairs. My mom is the only one home. My sister's at work. So I would be down in front of the fire with my mom and my dog watching, like, I love interior and architecture shows. So probably rewatching a season of Room to Improve. And stretching and a very simple stuff. Like I really like simple things. I love going out for like meals or coffees with loved ones. I was out with my friend for coffee in Fox Rock today. I'm a very simple Sally. As long as I get outdoors, good company and nice food and dogs and like I'm happy out, and then as little screen time as possible around work.
I know, I think this is the perfect way to end now. And I'm going to let you go back downstairs. So I'm going to say peace out.
Oh, God. Peace out.
I'm hoping now that I get a few people to listen into your story, because I think it's great. And it's when I was reading the Eno Reardon piece, I was actually smiling reading it. I thought it was refreshing. So it was really, really nice. So I was going to I felt like I was cold calling you the first time, Ash. Yeah. So this is great now, actually getting to chat to you. So if anybody is listening in and has liked the podcast, please pass it on to somebody, give a review or spread it around. There's nothing being made on it. It's a hobby. But I'm actually recording the podcast, not for the guest, but for the listener. So that's why I tried to get something out, like get the guests to share some of their story that somebody else can learn from. And I think there's some really good takeaways from what you've just shared.
Yeah. And I want to just leave this with anyone that's listening. It's like, all I want people to take from if they're listening to my story is, like, turn your phone on airplane mode, put a timer on, and say, for that amount of time, I'm just going to move. Even if it's outside or in the gym or in your garage, I'm just going to move. And if that's to music, put your favorite song on. Dance for 20 minutes. Like, just move in your body with everyone else on mute and have a good time. And stop taking yourself so seriously. It's fine. Have fun with it.